thankful for our worship team. Thank you, Sean. Worship team, just great stuff there today. Now, if you're joining us online, I want to let you know how it is that you can connect with us here at Houston Northwest Church. Just head over to hnw.org/online. As you head over there, you're going to see all kinds of different ways that you can get connected with groups. You can start a group. You can find information for kids, for students, for college, for young professionals, however it is that you're needing to get connected in this season. hnw.org/online is your one-stop shop to find all of the resources that you are going to need. So head over there, and we want to help you out to get connected right now during this season. A couple of things that I want to make you aware of as we head into Holy Week. Every single day during Holy Week, I will be posting a devotional that'll go live every day on all of our platforms. And so I would love for you to take advantage of that, watch that. Just an easy way for us to have an opportunity to come together during Holy Week as we prepare to celebrate God's goodness. Today's Palm Sunday, the first day of Holy Week. And so it's going to be a good opportunity for us to celebrate together. Now, we'll cap off our weekday Holy Week celebrations whenever we get to Good Friday, this coming Friday, 7 p.m. So we're going to do one big service, everybody together, log on, or whatever your preferred way of watching will be. It's going to be something like unlike we've ever done before. Totally creative, totally different, totally new. I'm really pumped. You're going to love it. So be sure to tune in this Friday, 7 p.m. You are absolutely going to love our Good Friday celebration that we're going to have this Friday. And then Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday next week. Really excited about that as well. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We're going to offer five different times that you can take in our Easter message and Easter worship. And so I want to let you know about that. We're going to do 8, 9:30, 11, 5 p.m. on Sunday, and then 7 p.m. on Tuesday. Now, a lot of folks are asking, why are we going to offer it so many different times? And here's the reason. We are hearing from service providers that between 10 a.m. and noon, in every time zone, the church is basically breaking the internet because everybody is streaming worship video, and the internet was not designed to handle that much bandwidth. Because of that, I think it's cool that the church is breaking the internet, but because of that, we want to offer multiple time slots for people to be able to tune in, and so you can do that. So let's get out an invite, text people, shoot them a message on whatever you prefer to, Facebook or email or whatever, and then get maybe some digital invites. We're putting those together so you can shoot those out to your friends as well. But we were going to hand out 5,000 invites face-to-face. Now we're going to do 5,000 digital invites. Let's get out there, invite everybody that we know to join us to celebrate the resurrected King. So again, Sunday, 8, 9, 30, 11, 5 p.m., and then Tuesday at 7 p.m., so get ready for that. It's going to be a lot of fun as we celebrate together. All right. Want to let you know this. We know right now that a lot of folks are getting bad news about their jobs. A lot of folks are losing their jobs, getting laid off. Every day, it feels like more and more people are communicating that. So here's what I want to let you know right now. We have put together a fund for financial assistance. And we want you to know that you are able to apply for financial assistance if you're in that situation right now. Just head over to hnw.org/online and you scroll down. You'll see the form there to fill out. And so I want to encourage you to do that, to take part in that. I think it's going to be a lot of folks in our community who need to take advantage of that. And so we want to encourage you to be sure to do that. At the same time, we're continuing to do ministry in the community. We're feeding folks who are necessary workers, essential as the government calls them. Today, on Sunday at noon, we're feeding the folks in the ER at Methodist Hospital. We're doing that kind of stuff off and on through the week, trying to get a blood drive organized, just trying to do different things to serve in our community, make a difference right now to make Houston look more like heaven. We know that you guys appreciate that, so we want you to know that we're going to continue to do as much ministry as we can during this season. As we do that, what I want you to know is that it's going to take all of us who are able to give to make it through this season. Many of you who have been with us, you've been generous. We thank you so much for doing that. So if you need assistance, please ask for assistance. But if you can give, please give. We need everybody giving together if we're going to be able to make it through this during this season. All right. So those are the things that I wanted to share with you right now. Now we're going to turn into the scriptures and we're going to see what it is that God has for us today. So if you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you to open that up. Go to the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9 today. Today is our final sermon in our Lord's Prayer series. Now, as you're headed over there, I want to give a quick introduction to the Bible for those who are new to the Bible. Now, the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament gives us a record of God's chosen people, Israel, and tells us about their need for a rescuer and a redeemer. The New Testament tells us who that rescuer redeemer is. His name is Jesus, and he's not a teacher or a prophet, but he is instead God in flesh. So we read about him pursuing us. We read about his birth of a virgin from a virgin. We read about his miraculous sinless life, his teachings, teaching us how we're supposed to live, how to treat others. We then read about his death on a cross. The Bible says that we deserve death, but Jesus took our death in his place, giving us forgiveness for our sin. And then the Bible also says that God raised Jesus from the dead 3 days later, conquering death and giving those who would place their faith in him eternal life. Doesn't even stop there. The Bible also says that the Spirit of Jesus then lives in those who place their faith in him. So if you need the power to live day by day to make it through this life, you need the Spirit of Jesus called the Holy Spirit. And you get that by placing your faith in Christ. So today we're in Matthew. This is a book where Jesus was teaching, and in this book, he's teaching his disciples how to pray. And so I want to pray over us, and then we're going to jump in and we're going to see what it is that Jesus taught his disciples about prayer and how that applies to our life today. God, thanks for your word. Thanks, Lord, that you teach us how to pray. And God, I pray that today we would hear from you and we would respond. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This is the word of the Lord. Well, church, I'll be frank with you today. I'm kind of disappointed. I'm disappointed not in any of you, but I'm disappointed because it's Palm Sunday and we're supposed to be in the church auditorium right now. And there's supposed to be 100 plus kids on the platform. There's supposed to be preschoolers marching down the aisle, waving palm branches, and we're stuck inside. We're in our houses. We're in quarantine. We're in social distancing. And I'm honestly not enjoying it a ton. I know I can't complain a whole lot because, hey, let's be honest, a lot of you guys are losing out on celebrations too. I've seen you posting anniversaries and birthdays, different graduations potentially being canceled, celebrations. It's just not a lot of fun. My wife and I are going to be celebrating our 21st anniversary on Good Friday, and yeah, probably we'll be doing that from the comfort of our house because that's what we do these days. Now, I bring all this up because I want you to know that it's okay to be sad. The Bible has this phrase for it, this word for it rather, called lament. And lament means that we come before God and we bring the things that we're grieving over, that we're sorry for. And I want you to know right now that you can bring those things before God. I mention that because on Palm Sunday, we're reminded of the God who in flesh in Jesus gets on a donkey, rides into town, and comes amidst the people who will betray him. In the same way, God comes amidst the people who are sad, who are frustrated, who are angry. In fact, there's a book in the Bible called Lamentations, all about sad things that had happened. And then there's also the psalmist in Psalm 13, for instance. He says, God, why are you so far away? Or Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? There's this sense that people have always felt that there have been hard times and that God has sort of turned his back on them during these seasons. I mention all that because I want you to know this. God sees us, God loves us, and even though it feels like he may have forgotten about us, he hasn't, but it's okay to have those emotions because God gave them to us. This is the point. As we come into the Lord's Prayer, I think we're dealing with some things that are sometimes kind of confusing and difficult in life, And it plays right into this final petition in the Lord's Prayer. In verse 13, Jesus says, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Well, as we're in the middle of all this grief and lament and feeling a little bit forgotten, there's this prayer where Jesus says, don't lead us into temptation. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a little confusing to me. I didn't know that God could lead us into temptation. I thought James chapter 1, verse 13, that God will not tempt anyone. If you're being tempted, you're not being tempted by God. Isn't that what the Bible says? And then Jesus says, lead us not into temptation. So it's kind of confusing. So here's the first thing I want us to hear. Right now, wherever you're being led, God is leading you there. Now, we may ask the question, God, where are you leading us? But God is leading us right now. So here's the truth. Temptation is real in the Bible. And here's also the truth. There are some places where it looks like God leads into temptation. For example, Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, is led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted. There's another place where a good man, Job, is allowed to be tempted by Satan, and God is the one who gives permission. But at the same time, what do we do with that verse that says that God will not tempt us? Well, I don't know that I always have the Bible answers, and maybe I don't have the Bible answer here, but this made sense to me. The Greek word in that verse, lead us not into temptation, parisimos is the Greek word for temptation. And the word there also can mean testing. That's right, temptation and testing. So Jesus says, lead us not into temptation or lead us not into testing. I think it might actually be kind of both, because the hearer would know that the word means both things. And so Jesus says, God, don't lead us to a place where we'd be tempted by Satan, but God, also don't lead us to a place of testing where we're not ready for it yet. Let's be honest. Sometimes God tests us. We know that. We've experienced that, or maybe we've read about stories in the Bible where people have been tested by God. And then there's also places where Satan certainly tempts people, right? We see that. We've experienced that in our own lives. But what if God sometimes leads us to places where not only we're tested, but also could be tempted at the same time? Here's what I'm driving at. I think that when the Spirit takes Jesus into the wilderness, Satan's the one who tempts him. Whenever God allows Job to be touched, it's Satan who is tempting. I think that sometimes there are these moments that God divinely orchestrates, and for him, it's a test. God is hoping that we will respond in obedience and in faith, and we will pass the test. But then at the same time, Satan, the Bible says, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's wanting us to fail. He's using this moment as a temptation. In other words, there can be moments, I think, where we're led, and it could be a temptation in Satan's perspective, or it could be a test in God's perspective. So here's the thing. I know that right now, the way that I'm having to live, I'm experiencing tests and temptations. Some of the temptations are different and new. I'm tempted to now almost pull away from my family a little bit more than normal. Normally, I'm coming home, I'm hitting the door, I'm excited to hang out with my wife and my kids. Now I'm around them all the time, and so I'm finding myself that temptation to withdraw, to not really be as engaged as I ought to be. Or I'm also tempted to disappear into screens more readily, or I'm tempted to submerge myself into social media or news, or I'm tempted maybe to, I don't know, just bury my head in work. There's all kinds of different temptations that show up in different ways in this season. But then there's tests. I think that God right now is testing me and trying to say, Steve, will you be quiet? Will you listen right now? Will you pay attention to my voice? Will you press into the scriptures? Will you allow this disruption to show you the broken patterns and habits in your lives? You see, I think that right now, not just me, but all of us, we're in a divine moment where we might be being tested by God and simultaneously tempted by Satan. And so when we pray, God, don't lead us to a place of temptation, what I think maybe Jesus is driving at is, God, don't let us go to a place of testing and fail and instead give in to the temptations that come in the moments of test. So right now, what about you? What is it that you think that God is trying to say to you? Because he's trying to tell you something. Right now, in this moment of disruption, that is a moment for spiritual and divine diagnosis. Disruption means divine diagnosis. It's a chance for you right now to get still, to get quiet before God, and to hear what it is that He has to say. Are you getting up in the morning and spending time in prayer? Are you praying for yourself, for your family, for your neighbors, for your friends? Are you praying, asking that God will show you more of who He is, or teach you or reveal to you places where you need to grow? Are you spending time reading scripture? If you're binging the Tiger King, but you're not pressing into the scripture right now, let me just give you a newsflash. You are misusing the time of social distancing. You need to be pressing into God more than simply binging television shows right now, because this is our moment, our chance to really see what it is that God wants us to do. When we start having a series called Teach Us to Pray, God has given us a moment to pray. We can pray right now. God, let us pass the test. Let us pray for a miraculous intervention with the coronavirus. God, let us pray and see that you'll do a global awakening right now. God, let us pray and see that we will see the own disobedience in our lives. This is our moment to truly hear and obey God and listen. Maybe the internet will go down during this situation. What would you do then if you couldn't do Zoom calls and FaceTimes and whatever else you're doing? Would you be able to disciple yourself? Could you pass the test if you couldn't tune in to Pastor Steve? I think that each of us needs to know how to feed ourselves from the Word of God and to feast on the presence of the Spirit of God. And that only comes when we feed on the Word and feast on the Spirit in prayer. Right now, we're still in a season of fasting. Have you been hanging with that? I know that I have, and I'll be honest with you. There's been a couple of days I haven't really wanted to do that. But as I lean into the fast, I'm feasting on God's presence, and I am seeing that God is revealing some ugliness in me, and I'm trying to grow through this season. I have no idea how long this will go. A month, two, three, longer, who knows? But here's what I do know. I want to pass the test, and I think that God wants you to as well. So what is God trying to teach you? Teach our church, teach our nation, teach our world. Let's not pass the test, and let's not fail the test, and let's not give in to temptation. But let's listen to what God has for us. So here's the point. God, where are you leading us? I don't know that I always know the answer to that, but I do know this. And this is the second thing I want you to hear today, that no matter where it is that He is leading you, no matter where it is that He's leading you, you need His deliverance. Many years ago, whenever I was in college, I did some pretty stupid things. Maybe a lot of people did some stupid things in college, but I want you to know, I could fill a lot of videos talking about stupid things I did. Here's one particular stupid thing that really stands out. There was a flood kind of going on in Abilene, Texas, where I went to college one day, and I was with my buddy Todd. He was driving around. We were in his Pontiac Grand Am. And as we were driving, we came to a low spot in the road called Cat Claw Creek. There wasn't a bridge at this place, but you had to actually drive down, go through the creek, and drive back up. It had been raining a lot, and the water was running pretty quick there. But because we were dumb and we didn't know any better, we decided that we would try to drive through Cat Claw Creek. Well, we were right behind another car, and that car stopped right in front of us, and water went straight into the tailpipe of Todd's car, and the car flooded and died. Worse than that, the car started to float. And guys, I'm not going to lie to you, I should have died on that day. I didn't. Why did I not die? Because a guy in a cowboy hat, cowboy boots, a rain slicker with a giant F-250 pickup threw us a rope and pulled us to safety. Yeah, I should have died on that day, but thankfully, thank God, a rescuer came. Still convinced that maybe cowboys and angels might look the same, because that was the way I felt that day, that I'd been rescued by an angel. Here's the point. I couldn't have gotten out of that situation without a deliverer, without a rescuer. If you get diagnosed with COVID, you're not going to come see me. Yeah, now I'm a doctor and you want me to pray for you, but you're not going to be, Steve, can you get me some kind of treatment? Can you get me a respirator? Because I don't have any medical expertise. There are certain situations where you need a specific deliverer. And here's what I want you to hear. Whether God is leading you to a season of testing or not, and whether Satan is tempting you or not, you will never get out of those places without God's delivering power. We believe in the sovereignty of God. That's a fancy theological term that simply means that God is in charge. So the moment we're in right now, God has led us here. That doesn't mean that God made the virus. I believe in sin and the fall, and I believe in the enemy, Satan. So I think that it's part of God's good creation that's gone awry, that Satan is using it for evil purposes. But I also believe Genesis chapter 50, that God can take things that were intended for evil and turn them to good. So here's the thing that I want you to hear right now, that we can pass the test, but we can't do it of our own volition. We can only do it if we have a deliverer. And the deliverer that you need right now doesn't come from your discipline. Discipline's good. The deliverance that you need right now can't come from any self-help book. It can't come from any amount of exercise, from eating right. It can't even come from just finding a good routine in the midst of your quarantine situation. You can only be rescued right now if you have the power of the living God in you. You only resist temptation because of Jesus, and you only pass the test because of Jesus. So here's the point. Wherever God has led us right now, we only get out of it because of the delivering power of God given us in Jesus Christ. So some of us today, we're already believers in Jesus. So what do we need to do? We need to lean in. We need to stop wasting our quarantine and start using it to grow in Christ. We need to start feasting on the Word, feasting on the Spirit in prayer, and asking God to grow us through this season. We need to learn to trust Him, to believe in His provision, to know that God wants to move us to a place of greater hearing of His Word and obedience of His Word. That's what disciples do, after all, hear and obey. That's what God is moving us to do. So we need to hear Him right now. We need to live out Galatians chapter 5, that we would be those who would actually choose to walk by the Spirit and to no longer choose to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Colossians chapter 1 tells us that Christ in us is the hope of glory. So as we let the Spirit of Jesus come in us and we live, we can resist temptation, pass the test, and we can actually step into the glory that God has intended for us. Some of us need to be doing that. But others of us, we can't pass the test or resist temptation because we have yet to say yes to Jesus Christ. And so what I want you to know today is that you can. And this is what you're saying yes to. The Bible says that God saw you and loved you, but you rebelled against Him. Maybe you didn't even know He existed. Maybe you never read the Bible. Maybe you've never watched a TV preacher before or whatever. But here's the truth. You have rebelled against what God wanted. Doesn't matter how much, doesn't matter how little. It just matters this, that your rebellion says that you deserve death. But God loved you so much, He didn't want you to have death. So He gave His Son Jesus. Jesus died 2,000 years ago and took your punishment into His body. See, now He's a deliverer. He's a rescuer unlike any other. In the same way that only the guy with the rope could have pulled me out of Cat Claw Creek in Abilene, Texas, and in the same way that only a trained physician can administer the respiratory treatment for those who get the coronavirus, only Jesus has the ability to rescue us from temptation and to help us pass the test, because only He has the ability to apply His blood on the cross to our sin. In the same way, only Jesus is the deliverer who conquered death. He's the only one who actually came past death, who lived through death, who was brought back and resurrected and has never again tasted it. And so you, if you place your faith in Him, you too can be joined with Him in eternal life. But even better, this is the thing I want you to hear. The Bible says that He then imparts His Spirit into you. The Spirit of the living God comes into you if you place your faith in Him, and you have the power to walk. You don't have the power to resist sin because you read a self-help book. You have the power to resist sin because the power of the living God, the Spirit of God, is in you. And you can have that today if you say yes to Jesus. The only way you pass the test with faithfulness and with obedience is through the power of the living God in you. And you can say yes to Him today. So here's the thing that I want you to hear. You need a deliverer. And the only deliverer that you can have that will help you make it to resist temptation and pass the test is Jesus Christ, because only Jesus gives the Spirit of the living God. So here's how we're going to respond today. Some of us need to say yes to Jesus, and some of us need to press into prayer. So here's how we're going to respond. If you need to say yes to Jesus, what I want you to do is I want you to click on the link that's going to come up And I want you to say, I'm ready to say yes to him. I need this power of the living spirit of God in my life. And I want someone to follow up with me. So you just click on that link, fill it out. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to get you some resources and we are going to help you take your next step and grow. So don't put this off. You need this today. So click the link and we want to follow up with you and help you grow in Christ. So don't delay. Click on the link. Others of us, we need prayer. We need someone to pray with us right now. And what I want you to do is to click the prayer link. And as you click that link, one of our team members is going to reach out to you and pray for you. Might be through a prayer card that you fill out, might be through text, might be through phone, whatever it is that you decide. But we want to pray with you today because we believe that if we're going to make it through the season of testing and temptation, we've got to turn to God. So I want to challenge you to do that right now, to be the people who pray, God, we want to make it through the season of testing and the season of temptation, and we want to make it because we lean first and foremost on you. So good news for us today. God has not forgotten us. He's given us the ability to pass the test, to resist temptation, and it's found in the unique deliverer, the only deliverer that gets us through these times. His name is Jesus, and we can turn to him today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your rescue, for your deliverance. Lord, we thank you that you can bring us through the temptations and you can help us pass the test. God, I pray that right now those who know that they need to say yes to you will click on that link and will take the steps. And God, those who need to pray to help pass the test will not be someone going, well, I don't know if that's me. But Lord, they would click on the link and say, it's time. I don't need to be prideful. I don't need to put this off. I need to say yes. I need prayer right now. God, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for your goodness. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's sermon. At HNW, our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians become more like Jesus. Because of that, we would love to invite you to get connected here at HNW. For more info, go to hnw.org/newhere. Again, thank you for listening. Have a great day.